My safe word is Quetzal. Let's go.
Paint me a word picture.
You don't know what I've been going through, and this is why this is happening.
This is not the podcast this is supposed to be.
Would you like to slide into our DMs because we need a new friend?
We are horrible anyway, figure skating. Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Netta. Hi, how are you doing? Happy New Year.
Oh my God. Happy New Year. It's been so long. I was sick for so long and I'm finally better and ready to do a podcast. And now Netta has the plague.
Yeah, I'm dying, but it's fine. I'm glad you're doing better. We started the year off very slowly with everyone getting sick, but also so much has been happening in figure skating all over the world that it's been kind of hard to talk about it because it's both like so much is happening and also like we can't possibly cover everything. So here we are.
It's true. It's national season. It's that wonderful time when everybody goes home for the holidays and then battles it out with everyone else in their own country. For those of you who don't know, national season is sort of the like qualifier for the international competitions in the second half of the season. So everybody, competes against the skaters in their own country. And then that sort of gives each individual country's federation a better idea of who they want to send to either like Euros or 4CC and Worlds and all the other things, right?
Yeah.
Is that those a fair assessment?
Yeah, those are basically the important ones kind of gearing up to towards Worlds. It's kind of like a midterm. I know we keep like comparing the skating season to a school year. If the Grand Prix season is like first semester, everyone's getting back, showing off what they've done over summer. Nationals is kind of like you've learned things from the first half and you get to apply them and hopefully do good enough to be the person to carry on for the rest of.
And it also should be noted, like, for a lot of people, nationals is the big show.
You know,
you work your way up through the local ranks and the regional ranks, and then nationals is, like, getting there is a huge privilege, or maybe your goal is to get in the top 10 or whatever, but you get to see, like, in addition to the faces that you see maybe in the Grand Prix season a lot, you get to see some other faces that this is, you know, maybe the only time you see them in a, like a big televised competition. So it's cool. It's like a little something for everyone.
Yeah, that's actually my favorite part of national season is whenever I do get to watch a country's nationals in full is seeing people I've never seen before and just in, like enjoying a bunch of skate. Because with our favorites and with the people who are on the international circuit more at this point in the season, there's people where I'm like, there they go again doing this program that I've seen four times and it's great, but I've seen it. And then like someone I've never seen before comes out and does something very nice. And that's always a nice little treat.
Just a little fresh face, little as fresh face as a treat.
Yep. God, I love that meme.
I just learned it was little and not a little, and it shook me to my very core.
I remember it as a little, and I think it's one of those Mandela effect things where different people remembered it different, or it's just like my brain auto-corrected it, but I like to think that there was a rift in the universe and some of it remember a different trait. But the point is cats can have a little salami. That's very important.
It is. And, you know, maybe in your universe, it's little and you ended up in a universe where different people won the nationals. So if this doesn't seem correct to you, you know, maybe look around, make sure you ended up on the right side of the timeline divergence.
Yeah, check in with your cat, give them a little salami and figure out if any of this sounds correct.
Yeah, see how they respond and then take it from there. Take your cues from the cat. Before we continue, should we talk about our big news?
Fuck it. Let's do breaking news, but it's about us.
It's breaking news, but it's about us this time. Screw you, figure skaters. It's our time to shine. Just kidding. We love you, figure skaters, obviously. Yeah, so our big announcement, if you didn't see on Twitter and Instagram, we have been invited by U.S. Figure Skating to go to U.S. Nationals, the Toyota U.S. Nationals. I'm trying to, like, name drop that brand because I feel like they
appreciate it. Are you hoping they're going to give you a car?
God, Jesus, that would be amazing. Let me speak
this
into the
universe. Hi, Toyota, do you want to sponsor us?
I'm not Nathan Chen, but I would love a car. But yeah, so I'm going to go and rep the Iced Tea pod at U.S. Nationals. It's going to be so fun.
So exciting. You're so legit.
I mean, we're so legit. You just are also legit and European and far away.
Yeah, that's my favorite song from Legally Blonde is Legit and European.
Sorry, yeah. If I laugh too hard, I'm going to jostle my microphone. So I feel like I'm going to just laugh like SpongeBob this episode and just see how we feel about that.
It's fine. Nah. God.
Yeah, I love it. It's just like it's new year, new me. So...
yeah, so we're very serious sports journalists now. Honestly, this has been so very cool of U.S. figure skating to reach out. And it's very exciting. It's super exciting. I can't believe we're going to nationals. We're going to make that a whole deal when it does happen.
Yeah, next week we're going to obviously. Well, so I'm leaving as of time of recording. I'm leaving in 2 days. 3 days?
Yeah.
3 days. And if any of you guys are going, let me know. I don't know how, like slide into my DMs or something on Twitter or Insta or wherever. And yeah, I don't know. I don't, at this time, I don't have any plans for any sort of like fan meets because I'm not like a beauty blogger, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Who knows? There's a lot of time. But yeah, so we've got some exciting news around like giveaways and stuff that we're going to talk about mid-show break. If you generally skip that one because we say more or less the same thing every time, it's a little stick hurtful around. But yeah, stick around this time. You will, it's going to be different. It's going to be, we're going to mix it up. So yeah, I want to jump into a show.
Yeah, let's just do a show.
So we're going to go in reverse order, I think, and we're going to start with the most recent Canadian Nationals because it's on our minds. It just finished and we have all this like fresh Canadian spirit from it. So we're going to start there. How's that?
Yes, I'm excited to talk about this. I feel like it was unpredictable and very exciting. I am obsessed with Canadian figure skating. I think everyone brought so much cool shit to the table this year. And it's always just like a good spirited competition. I feel like there's no weird drama around Canadian Nationals.
It's a very wholesome national competition. At least it was this year. All the drama was more or less individual and not like interpersonal. There was no like animosity. One gets the feeling everybody's friends. Everyone's happy to be there. And of course, anytime we get Ted Barton, it's like,
blessed.
We can have little of Ted Barton as a treat. We'll start with the ladies. And the entire podium was these like teen queens who we didn't, it was awesome. They were all these like fresh faces that didn't expect, you know, maybe we're hoping for like a junior world spot, but didn't expect a podium or didn't expect to win. Emily Bousback is the winner. They're all three girls who podiumed are 17. So that's the winning age, first of all.
Incredible.
Emily Bousback comes out, first of all, she's a little firecracker.
Like last year.
She skated to her short program was a cover of Everywhere by Fleetwood Mac, and her free skate was a cover of My Heart Will Go On, and they were both in that same genre of like moody indie female singer songwriter, and it was
music to study to.
It was a real strong choice. Yeah. I don't know if it was a choice that I liked or disliked, but it was something.
I love this program because this song makes me so emotional. Every time, every version of it, every cover. What I have a huge problem with is where usually like the huge, like, I guess you would call it the bridge. I'm not sure if it's exactly the bridge of it, but the you're here, there's nothing I fear, like huge
oh, the build key change.
Kicks in, the key change, and it's gorgeous and it's beautiful. Emily's music, this cover kicks into an instrumental, and I like, I literally like drew in a breath. I was ready for this thing to happen, and it edged me so hard and did not happen. And the instrumental was gorgeous, like beautifully orchestrated, but I needed the key change and the screaming, and it did not happen, and I was left upset by that. I almost want to, like, change it to the original, like, edit it with the original of the song and see how that makes me feel, because...
Yeah, I have a hard time imagining a thought process where it's like, imagine if like listening to My Heart Will Go On and then being like, God, this is great. I just wish this person was singing a little less.
Just a little quieter and softer and
a little tiny but less indie. Yeah, a little more indie, a little less skillfully, a little less dramatically. You know, but I'm not a music producer. What do I know?
Well, you know music.
Yeah, that's true.
But something else that struck me was that she's a very beautiful skater, very, very skilled. And there is a quality to her skating that I really like. But at the same time, there's something about someone who has clearly been in juniors before. I could see her thinking through her skating in a way that feels a little junior to me personally. Like, it was very much this thing of like, oh, this is beautiful choreo. Here's where you do this. And then this thing needs to happen. And it's very well executed, but just like in a way that is not as polished. But I'm very excited to see her get there.
I think I would say the same about all three of the medalists.
Yeah.
Which actually, is that they're really, really, like, I do think they belong in seniors because I do think that they have more polish than what I would typically imagine as junior, but I think that their youth and relative inexperience does show in that, yeah, there is a little bit of that junior quality. There is a little bit of that, like, thinking and not totally always sinking into the music the way you would see from the older competitors who didn't have such a great day, but
yeah,
you can't deny that they have, like, that presence on the ice.
Just like the showmanship aspect of it. But that comes with time and experience. And I feel like having a national title or like a medal at nationals is for sure what can give you this confidence for next time, for like whatever comes next.
Yeah. And we all know that I am not like the jumping is not my favorite part of skating. But every single time Emily Bosbeck jumped, I like was so hype about it. She is like a little tiny firework. Like she just goes like boop and she spins so fast and pops right up in the air. It's like the only word I kept using and thinking was explosive. It felt like.
Yeah, explosive. I agree with that.
I guess we got to talk about how Gabby didn't have a great time, and that was really difficult to watch.
Yeah, I always feel sad for Gabby whenever her skates don't go great, because you could tell, like, gearing up because of, like, social media and stuff that she was really prepping and felt really ready to be out there. But you can never know how a day is going to go, and also, like, she hasn't really been out there this season, and even when you're really good in general, like just like lacking like the routine of just doing it in the season might affect things, I guess.
Yeah, she's had pneumonia. I mean, she's just had a really rough go and kind of some bad luck. I think I felt bad for her because you're right. It seemed like she really had a lot of hope. I think a lot of people really thought this was like a big comeback for her, and that's a lot of pressure. And
yeah, for sure.
She, in past competitions that we've seen, like last season and earlier this season, in the Kiss and Cry, she's always like looking on the bright side and saying how, well, she didn't expect it because of, she didn't always expect it to go well because of this or this, but for what it was good. This time she just seemed really down about it and sad and disappointed. And
yeah,
you hate to see that. It was her birthday, I think. It was just, you know, it's
hard to see. Yeah, I hope she takes away, like, the good notes of what she did and what she didn't do and, like, moves on from that. Because that's all she can do, really. Like,
well, I'll read you what she said on Instagram, which I thought was I was glad to see it after. Let me pull it up. She said, "Haven't had the most success the last couple years, but one thing I can promise is that it won't stop me from continuing to do what I love most. Going forward, I will continue to work hard and give it my best day in and day out." And then she sort of, like, thanks her fans. But I was glad to see her say that. I would have been really sad if she had said, like, that's it, I'm done, or something. I didn't expect her to, but
she's just matured a lot, I think, over the past couple years.
And she looked great, as always.
She looked beautiful, of course.
Yeah. What else? Men? Canadian men?
Oh, my God. Canadian men. Megan, what the fuck?
Something happened, man.
I'm happy. I'm very happy. I'm deeply happy. But also, like, what happened? But also, like, here's where I'm going to start. Canadian men brought it so hard. It was so exciting to watch and fun and awesome. And not everyone was as clean as I would have liked. But, you know, it's very hard because it was one of those, it was one of those events where I was rooting for like seven people, which is always a great experience. I did not expect the podium to be what it was.
It was a definitely a more stacked field than the ladies. I think the men are having, as much as I think the absence of Patrick Chan is really still felt in the men's field, I do think that it's a more internationally competitive field than the ladies. The ladies, it was very much like, who's going to even... I mean, Emily Bosbeck won nationals. She doesn't have the minimum TES for worlds right now, and...
You want to hear the gag of the season, though?
What?
They have two lady spots for worlds and one men's spot.
I know, right? Like, what?
Yeah, it's insane.
The other gag of the season is that Emily was one of the skaters who got disqualified from worlds by the raising of the TES minimum.
Oh, fuck. So I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so that I think that's true. I believe that's true. I think they have a few more chances potentially to get her that minimum. But we can talk worlds and international selections in a minute. But yeah, the men's, yeah, man, it was unexpected. And it was, you know, it's like,
great.
Okay, let me preface this by saying, like, you guys know that we love Nam and Keegan. And we were like, we were very much like, who's going to win? Is it Nam or Keegan? Like, we very much were right on board with everybody. We thought it was going to be one of them. And that was the narrative. That being said, I was a little bit like, okay, come on, about the degree to which everybody was like playing up Keegan's family tragedy. And I was a little bit like, it was, for me, it bordered on like, is this tasteful? Is it tasteless? And I think it was okay because of that spirit of Canadian wholesomeness that permeated the event. But if it hadn't been for that, I would have been like, all right, that's a lot of emphasis on his family tragedy.
I felt weird about it because it felt... And we've talked about it at length. Go listen to our Skate Canada episode if you want to hear more about that. But it felt weirdly exploitative of just Keegan's entire life, because everything about the men's events, both short and free, was about the struggle of his family over the past couple months, or about his beautiful wedding with a lot of beautiful cuts to his beautiful wife, or about his friendship with Nam. And at some point it was like the keeping up with Keegan missing, just like, here's everything about men's Canadian figure skating through the lens of Keegan missing, which I'm not complaining about because I love him. It was just like a weird, like, weird tabloid way of approaching this.
And yeah,
I'm still not sure how I feel about it.
No, I completely agree. I genuinely have no idea how I feel. I feel conflicted because, okay, this is the thing that actually got me so pressed / incredulous, was they were interviewing Piper and Paul after they won their dance title, which, congratulations.
Finally. They've been on this podium 8 times. I'm so excited for them. They're so beautiful. Congrats.
Congrats. They were so happy. And they were being interviewed by this interviewer who was asking them about Keegan and like making their victory about Keegan, and had like, oh, Piper, you're... This is literally how this interview went. They're like, Piper, you were helping Keegan through his family tragedy, right? And she was like, yeah. And she sort of talked about sharing her experience with grief with him and how they had a friendship over that. And then the interviewer goes, and of course, you are referring to your mother's recent death from brain cancer. And then the interview was over.
Jesus!
And like totally deadpan, said it, and then was like, congratulations, thank you, back to you.
Your mom died, you just won, congrats, goodbye.
Bye. And of course, we are talking about how your mom died, bye. It was awful. And I'm like, I was a little mad. As somebody with a dead parent, I was a little bit like, Jesus. That was a little much. Of course, that's our whole thing on this podcast, is sort of like, what's the story? What's the human narrative behind it? But it almost felt like we didn't even need that much of a spotlight shined on it because it was already there. And I'm questioning whether I'm just thinking that because I'm already so focused on it. Maybe a casual fan would have been glad for that information. And I loved all of the stuff about him and Nam's friendship.
I also felt weird the amount of emphasis on, like, they might be good friends, but this is a rivalry. And I'm like, okay, is it though? Like, I mean, obviously they're competing and that's fine, but it was like, they are friends, but this is a whole thing. And I'm like, they're friends and also they're doing their job.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think, like, we talk a lot about how sports, how just humans in general, like, want a narrative. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why a lot of people watch sports. It's why a lot of why I watch figure skating. And I think it felt a little bit of an inorganic forcing of a narrative that's already clearly present. But who's to say? This could be our, like, you know, art school overthinking of things. I don't know. But it's our podcast, so we get to do that.
Yeah, that's why you've tuned in, is to hear us overanalyze a friendship, which is not our own. Having said all of that, the two of them on a rink is always chaotic and beautiful and fun. There is backflipping and just good wholesome vibes and hugs and high
hugging
fives.
But all of this to say, that's why I was glad that neither of them won, even though I wish one of them had won because it would have been really wonderful for one of them. I just kind of love that the universe was like, fuck you and your narrative. We're putting someone else in the podium.
Canadian national champion Roman Sadovsky.
Romsky TV.
Romsky! I'm so fucking excited.
What a doll face.
I can't wait for the video blog. I am so excited. I love him so much. He deserves this so hard. Honestly, either one of the three of them on top of this podium would have been great for me for different reasons, because I stan all of them. This is just so great. I mean, it's like it's a first generation immigrant narrative. It's like a younger skater. It's like all of those things that are just good and wholesome and pure. And also, I get to have a YouTube video about it. So that's great. Can we get him on the pod? Is that a thing?
Oh my God, could
Romsky,
we?
Romsky, come on the pod.
Romsky, as a fellow content creator, we would love to have you, my man. As a fellow hashtag influencer.
Yeah, we can talk about being Slavic and being influencers. I'm just so excited for him. He deserves
this. It's just so cute.
It's just so good and so wholesome. Also, Nam took his silver in, like, the cutest way. He posted a picture of his medal on a dog. I'm assuming his dog. I don't know.
It's not his dog. I think it's his friend's dog. That was the dog I was saying.
Just a tiny dog. A tiny, cute dog.
Its name is Fudge, and I followed it on Instagram. It's the cutest dog I've ever seen. It looks like a little blob of, like, peanut butter turned into a dog.
A little hairy blob of peanut butter.
Yeah, well, when you say it like that, it doesn't sound great, but you gotta trust me on this one.
But yeah, I am so happy and excited. Also, the three of them all get to go to four continents, which is great. And honestly, low-key, all three of them fantastic, beautiful, gorgeous, talented. All three of them not the most consistent. So with their one spot for Worlds, truly anything could happen.
Yeah, let's talk about Worlds in four continents, Simons. Canada is being cautious and holding off, which I think is smart. And
yeah,
I was talking to some friends about the, like, what should they do? What would you do in their position? And I think we all sort of agreed, like, we would be cautious and see how four continents went. And then that's what they ended up doing. So
yeah,
they're basically going to wait and see.
Yeah, I think that's the smartest choice, because, like, a clean Keegan at four continents could be incredible. Or, like, something could happen again to either one of them. It's just a lot of chaotic boy energy, and we're just gonna have to wait and see. I'm super excited for four continents now. It's the lineup across the board for four continents is shaping up to be super exciting.
It really is. And as far as women goes, I mean, gosh, I think they're sending Emily and Allison Schumacher and Alicia Pino.
Yeah, I think that's right.
The other thing that I can't remember if we talked about, but Aurora Kotop, who was also one of the other favorites, is dealing with a back injury, and she skated the short, just couldn't get her jumps rotated because she was in so much pain, and then withdrew before the free. And I feel so bad for her because I'm currently in physical therapy for my back, and I, like, literally felt her pain.
Aww. Yeah, I'm proud of both of you for taking care of yourself and being smart about it.
I will never make it to four continents, but maybe one day Aurora
will.
Maybe
one day. I don't know, girl. You might get invited to be there.
Maybe. That's true. At this rate, it's possible.
You might make you've made it to US Nats. You might make it to four continents.
Who's to say?
No, but in all seriousness, there has been a lot of conversation lately in the figure skating world about where you know, being courageous and skating through injuries is something to praise over something to like notice and maybe address. And I'm always so impressed when a skater knows their limits. Because at the end of the day, I'd rather have her come back next season than have her push for a free skate that she may or may not podium at. And
she's so young.
Permanently injured.
No, and to be honest with you, I actually kind of don't think it's ever courageous to skate through an injury.
Oh, I mean, for sure.
I'm not saying it doesn't take courage to do it, but I don't think that it's ever good. I really don't. And I don't even mean that like on the professional level. I mean that literally down to like pushing through an injury is just never a good thing. Like you have to take care of it. And you and I know that, but I'm just saying like
no, the reason we, we do, but I messed up my knee in 2017 in October. And the doctor I saw like in December was like, hey, maybe take it easy. And what I did was took a semester of a bunch of dance classes that I was technically not allowed to take because it was during when we were in grad school. And then started doing a lot of drag and then started figure skating. So I'm not the smartest when it comes to permanent body harm.
I hurt my back in 2011 and I just started physical therapy for it like a month ago. So
we're don't not listen to us.
Don't listen to us.
If you're younger and more talented and have stakes in your body, you know, just take care of yourself. Everyone take care of yourselves.
And the reason that we're talking about this is because there was that really, really, really terrifying fall in warm-ups of those junior pairs, right?
Yeah.
It was a junior pair.
Emmy Kerrigan and Brian Piero.
So just a content warning, we are going to talk about a scary fall if you have a fear of heights or you're really disturbed by things like this. Just, you know, fast forward. Yeah. So what happened was... So they were in warm-ups, they were doing a throw, and while she was in the air, like, okay, this is my lack of pairs knowledge is going to show here. The guy throws the girl, and then he skates over to where she's going to land really fast to catch her, and like... he threw her, and then while he was skating over to where she was going to land, he tripped, and... And so he wasn't there to catch her. So she's spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning. And then she stops like maybe 6 feet up in the air and then just comes straight down like belly flop onto the ice from a height of like 6 feet.
Jesus Christ. The women in pairs, I've said this before, the women in pairs are the bravest skaters out there. This is not a feminist statement. It's just a statement of fact. If there was a male person doing what they're doing, I would say the same about him. The trust that you have to have in another human being and just like the sheer lack of fear of heights that you have is even the most courageous, incredible, insane single skaters don't like physically go as high. Like it's physically impossible to do what they do if you're one person.
Yeah, I guess she like broke her wrist and her kneecap or something happened to her kneecap.
She broke her wrist for sure because I read about it and I don't think she broke her kneecap because she was able to stand on it.
Something happened to her kneecap though.
She should not have, but she did skate still.
Well, she skated and I guess everybody was like, oh my God, so courageous. And there was a lot of conversation around like why were medics not preventing her from skating? It was... Yeah, I mean, she's literally a child. If she's a junior, I forget exactly how old she is. 13.
She's such a tiny little thing. And at the end of that program, he literally had to carry her off the ice. They did their little curtsy and then he picked her up and carried her off. And that's, you should not have to do that.
Can I just say, because pain or lack of pain, you know, when you break a bone, you kind of go into shock and who knows what you're feeling or not feeling. But even just mentally, even if she had not been hurt at all, the mental toll of that, I'm sorry, but like when I fall just skating forward, I need like 5 minutes to just like breathe through the adrenaline of I was scared and now I need to like mentally prepare myself to go back to doing what I was doing. Granted, I mean, professional skaters, no, they fall, they get back up, they keep skating. Not like that. But it's one thing to fall on a small jump, to fall from like 6 feet in the air. You see, I mean, God, she like saw the whole thing. She saw the ground coming up to meet her because she was facing it. I'm sorry, I'm like making it really graphic for you, but I cannot imagine just psychologically having that happen and then having to go out and skate a competitive program. You know what's funny is that you bring up this wholesome vibe of Canada, and I think some people really hate that. I'm surprised by it, but I saw some backlash.
People see everyone fucking hate each other and fight, because that's why people tune into figure skating a lot, which is a whole other thing to talk about.
I mean, it's a preference thing. I don't really like commentary that's too harsh. Even the, it wasn't Ted, it was whoever was commentating the ladies short, but it was like the second half of a ladies short. So like after it switched away from Ted, but one of them was like, this is a disaster. And I was like, God, can you imagine doing anything and knowing that somebody is commentating like, this is a disaster?
No, but the same thing happened in the men's free skate, like while Nam was still skating. And to be honest, he skated fine. It wasn't Skate Canada, but he skated across the board pretty fine. The commentary was like, oh no, this is not what he came here to do. This is such an upset. I'm like, it's his job. Sometimes it goes well and sometimes it doesn't.
When I think of commentary, is oftentimes for people who are less informed about the scoring system, because for those of us who are very well acquainted with it, we don't need that to know what's going on. And so assuming that commentary is for more casual fans or fans who don't know the scoring system as well, it also feels like kind of a misrepresentation to be so fatalistic when people fall, because a fall is a 1-point deduction and maybe you lose 5 points, but it's not like all of a sudden you're in last place because you fell a couple times. And that's actually something that a casual fan might assume. And I would think it would be better for a commentator to be more chill about it, because in the current scoring system, falling isn't really the end of the
world.
This
is what the musical Be More Chill is about. It's about figure skating.
It might be. I genuinely don't know. So that's Canadian Nationals. It's still sort of a rebuilding time, definitely for women. Men are, I don't know,
we're
fighting for, unfortunately, one spot.
It's insane.
I really, really, really hope that they can get a second spot back.
Yeah. That would be the best outcome here, because it's kind of insane that they have 2 lady spots and 1 spot for guys, given across the board how this international season has been going.
So that's Canada. Shall we then work our way backwards and talk Japan? Japan, in some ways, may have been the most surprising of the national competitions.
God. First of all, for the record, feels like it happened 12 years ago.
It did happen 1 year ago, if we go by the calendar.
Yeah, it happened last year. It was wild.
Yeah, and I kind of felt like I dreamed a lot of it. If I remember correctly, I think I actually slept through the men's free skate and, like, assumed that it wasn't going to be, like, anything unexpected.
Yeah, dude, texted me and you were like, well, we know what happens, so I'm just going to, like, go to bed or whatever. And I was going to practice, and then what happened, and then I had to wait for you to wake up because I was trying not to spoil it for you, and I wanted to text you and be like, don't go on Twitter because you would have seen, but I felt like even saying that would give you an indication that something happened.
I know. It wasn't spoiled for me, I will say that. Okay, I'm sorry. We're like pussyfooting around it, but so Yuzu Hanyu competed at Nationals and did not win.
Wild. Fucking wild.
Wild and crazy. Let me put my bulletproof vest on so I feel safe talking about Yuzu.
Someone is already calling Interpol. You're getting doxxed right now.
There's like a couple of red laser dots on me. I'm not really sure where those are coming from, but I gotta get out of the way here. Interpol came to my house.
True story. Emotional, not clickbait.
It happened to me.
I feel safe saying this because I know none of those people are listening.
Well, also, like, I was going to say they're not going to go to Bulgaria, but technically, as a European, I feel like Interpol is more likely to go to your house.
Oh my God,
than
they're
mine.
Welcome to show up. So, anyway, Shoma won. Shoma won.
He did, and he had such a journey this season. And I think I think for some people, it was difficult to see him win because there are still a lot of people who feel really uncomfortable with him and see him as a misogynist. And I think that they're entitled to their feelings and their opinions. And I feel badly if anybody is distressed by that. I guess that's like not how I personally felt about it.
There's bigger fish to fry in figure skating.
Jesus Christ, are there not right now? I mean, my God, the amount of shit going down in figure skating. Yep. And I struggle with it. You know, I just want to say too, like, if we're, as long as we're talking about all of this stuff with sexual abuse,
welcome to
the
ICT podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea about how basically all men are horrible.
Yeah. Yes, all men.
Yes, all men.
I just want to say, like, I personally struggle a little bit with this as a person who has a platform in the figure skating community, because I don't want to not ever talk about it. Because I realize that silence on those issues is really deafening. And I certainly support survivors and am very, very strongly of the opinion that people should be investigated and brought to justice, and that any sort of abuse or supportive abuse or encouragement of abuse or silencing of survivors, like, oh, that's totally unacceptable. I just never know exactly, like, I'm always so, so hyper cautious about what to share. I never want to share anything that's not factual or not, or like, do you know what I mean?
No,
like, or like of, saying an opinion that might be too radical. Like, I just.
And also, at the end of the day, we got to remember that in some of those cases, there are ongoing investigations, which also makes speaking on a matter harder just because it could jeopardize a literal court case. And that adds more pressure to this whole situation. But I do want our listeners to know that this podcast as a whole and us as human beings are on the side of always believing survivors above all else and always supporting them and not caring about clout or fame or medals when it comes to who's garbage and who's not.
No, totally. It's very much that, like, unequivocally, that is our stance as a podcast. And as far as, like, the thing I struggle with is, like, which articles do I retweet or which tweets do I retweet? I always err on the side of this is maybe not my place to weigh in, just in terms of, like, am I adding to the conversation? Am I helping in this way? Or am I crowding the conversation and taking away from the voices that do need to be heard?
Sometimes, you know, just uplifting voices and making sure that people know that you are a listener is enough, or is what is needed from us in a situation. Which is not an excuse for, like, blissful silence, but it is where we stand.
No.
Having said all of that, bigger fish to fry, Shoma won Japanese Nationals. And I, for one, was excited to see that from him because I will not let it go. I was there at IDF when he seemed like his season might be done.
Yeah. I mean, gosh, talk about a human interest story. Talk about the narrative of the sport. I mean, that is a real comeback in such a short period of time. I mean, you really, I was going to say you could make a movie about that, but I think it would be a complicated movie because of all of the, like, Shoma Gamergate stuff.
Also, it would not be the most exciting movie. It would be the social network with iTanya elements. Actually, saying that sounds super exciting. I lied. That sounds lit as fuck.
The whole narrative of everything that happened around the podium at Japanese Nationals was the most fascinating to me, because you get this, like, in a vacuum, Shoma's story is incredible, right? It's, I mean, then you zoom out a little bit, you see that he, while technically defending his title, everybody sort of in spirit has always seen that as, oh, well, if Yuzu was here, it would have been his, so whatever, whatever. And then Yuzu shows up, still doesn't win, and there was this sense of Shoma having guilt over it, or having to seek reassurance from Yuzu that it was okay that he won, and Yuzu feeling like, you know, he had to, like, give his blessing. And it's like we saw these weird things that we were only interpreting through hugs and body languages, and, you know, oh, we're trying to lip read their Japanese conversations. It was really fascinating as a fan to watch and try and interpret exactly what was going on
there. It's just, it's weird because for Yuzu and for any skater who we suspect might be human, at some point he's going to stop skating. I'm not saying it's going to be next season. I'm not saying it's going to be after 2022, but at some point.
Canceled. No, okay, canceled Netta. Great. He's never going to stop skating.
Thank you for tuning in. I'm at Netta Marie on Twitter and Instagram, and this has been our podcast. Goodbye.
This is our last episode. Bye.
Yeah, this is Interpol has taken me out, actually, at this point. This is my ghost. No, but the reality of things is things change and people win things and people stop winning and people win again. And like, I'm not saying Yuzu's done and he should retire, mostly because I like being alive.
Yeah, as it turns out, figure skating is not scored by vibe check.
Yeah, figure skating is not scored by vibe check. Like, if it were, a lot of things would be different because I would be showing up being the ISU and being like, I like this person. They get plus 20 points because I like them.
I didn't see as many people being like, this is unfair scoring. This is unfair scoring. Shoma shouldn't have beaten Yuzu. There's no world where Shoma should beat Yuzu. Okay. I never saw that. Did it exist? It may have. And maybe I have just gotten really good at hacking my own what I see on the internet. Okay. But I did find it. I just found it interesting that when someone else beats Yuzu, it's a huge deal. But if Shoma beats Yuzu, it's like, oh, that's okay because Shoma is also in the nice group of people that, you know, is like, ubu, precious angel boy, can never do anything wrong. We love you. Is that too shady to put on the podcast? I genuinely don't know anymore.
I don't fucking know, but also it's my show. Here's the tea. It's just, it's weird when people choose to make a narrative about rivalry and when they choose to make a narrative about, oh my god, this handing of the torch and the blessing that Shion was receiving because he happened to win, and this weird expected survivor's guilt that he should be having for having won. It's just bizarre. I feel like figure skating in general should be a lot more about case-by-case happenings. Because clout and what you've done and what we know you're capable of are all great. But if you show up and you don't do the thing, you can't be awarded points for just being there. Because if that was the case, like, fucking Brian Urser would go skate Canadian Nationals and people would be like, well, that's Brian Urser, here's 50 points.
I think in general, figure skating in practice is always case by case, and it's just the expectation by a lot of fans that it won't be. I think we've talked about this before, to be honest. Like, it's just clout. Yeah. I mean, I think it's literally just what happened on that day. And body of work comes into play a lot in terms of like, okay, we look at nationals and we look at body of work. Here's the international assignments. The Japanese federation does that more than many federations in terms of they like who they like. They, for the most part, seem to be very focused on artistry and the kinds of things that a lot of fans are very into, us included. Their priorities seem to line up with, you know, the people's priorities. So it sort of doesn't even matter, but it certainly did show that Yuzu is capable of going somewhere and falling a few times and then not winning, like, just like anybody else. And
he may or may not be human.
He may or may not be human, and all these conversations of why or how, and it's like, well, he's a person.
He's a human being, and he's he should be allowed to make mistakes. Something I will say is I really enjoyed watching Yuzu actually this competition a lot, because in the kiss and cry and in interviews, you could see him be excited and have fun and not beat himself up, which is huge, because I know that had this been a couple seasons ago, he would be beating himself up for not being 1000% perfect. And I think that speaks a lot more to his growth as a person and athlete than skating to clean programs sort of.
I was just thinking about how if I was a skater and I beat Yuzu Ruhanyu, I would be genuinely afraid, and it would take so much away from any happiness I had at A, winning, and B, beating the GOAT. I would actually probably be more afraid and nervous than I would be happy. And I hate that that's a climate that we have created. Or, I mean, I didn't, but somebody
fuck
did.
Fuck you, Megan. No, it's weird because you got to take into account, in the case of Shoma and Yuzu, it's those people who've known each other for literally over a decade. And obviously, I'm sure the way they see it is different. But trying to imagine it, I think I would wanna almost make it a joke and like put it in my bio and be like, yeah, I won. I'm super good. But also, I think you're right. I think having to feel like you gotta go and apologize to a bunch of people that you did your job is weird.
Well, and it's like this expectation now that if you beat Yuzu, you have to then in the press conference and in the interviews and everywhere on earth
just be like, I'm so grateful per se, to be here with him and it's so good that he's here and it's fucking incredible that I got to win. But anyway, have you seen Yuzu? He's sitting right here. Isn't he so great? And it's...
You have to kiss the ring and it's a little bit like you can tell that it is genuine. Nobody's faking it. Everybody is rightfully and understandably really authentically pleased and shocked and dismayed and all of this stuff. And also, if they didn't do that, it would be very bad. So even if it wasn't real, they'd still have to do it. And that's what sits weird with
me. The fact is, even if we're like lampooning this and exaggerating a lot of the actual words that would be said, the fact is that there is a climate in which a lot of people on the internet, and that's the people who tune in, that's the people who like travel and buy tickets and like fill arenas and keep the sport going. Somehow we have fostered an environment where this is a conversation we're even having. And that's kind of crazy to me. I feel like even if we are kind of exaggerating a lot of this, the fact that there are people out there who do expect all of those like disclaimers to come with a win is truly insane. And I do not know what we do about it.
I think we just keep, I don't know, to a certain extent, I'm inclined to just, there's a part of me that doesn't want to do it because it feels like negotiating with terrorists, but also there's a part of me that is terrified of them, that hates confrontation and will do it in order to not ever get bullied because I don't like it. But
you know what? I've been bullied on the internet a lot and for many years and for many reasons. I don't give a shit.
You can be the brave one in this partnership, yeah.
Always like sweating when it happens, but it's been happening for like 15 years, and I say bring it on. I'm way smarter than you are.
That's true. Netta is probably way smarter than
I'm for sure everybody. Way smarter. Thank you.
I want to say one more thing about Yuzu, and this is not actually a moralistic soapbox moment. It's kind of just an opinion, and I'm curious what you think and what everybody else thinks, because I do think that this is just a personal thing. I've seen a lot of people really, really disappointed that he is repeating programs and stuff. And I think that, like, I think it's a necessity for a lot of people and it makes a lot of sense. I do get logically why you would be disappointed. I love seeing people repeat programs. I feel like a handful of competitions that happen in one season is like never enough for me. And I miss all of the programs from last year. Like, I wish that everyone kept them for 2 or 3 years. I think I'm in the minority
here.
You are.
You are across the board. Because if a lot of people kept their programs, you wouldn't have a lot of cool new shit this year. But I don't agree with you across the board. I do agree with you about Yuzu, actually, which is weird because I didn't at the top of the season. I was like a fucking coward. He didn't fucking pick up anything new, like, because I like to see him do new shit. But because he's Yuzu,
he only got like half a season with those programs.
I know. I just wanted new things. But that was I was younger, dumber. It was months ago. Now because he's himself and just his presence is immediately a rock concert, I think keeping the programs is very smart because, like you said, he didn't get to do them a lot last year, but they're both very, very, very good. And I feel like at this point, they've reached this like cult classic status where when he's done his jumping passes and he pauses for a second and you know he's gonna go into that step sequence, like running into it, and you know everything that's gonna happen in it. That's like the joy of seeing it for a couple seasons. But that's because of the quality of it and because of how iconic the programs are to begin with. I will say, if someone is skating to like to build a home and they keep it for 3 seasons, I'd be like, you know what? Maybe it's time to open up Spotify and think about this.
Yeah, the home's done. It's been done.
Yeah, you're like rebuilding. You're renovating the kitchen at this point.
The housing crisis is over. Like, at what point have we built enough homes? We've built a whole neighborhood.
Yeah, we've built a city on figure skating.
We built
Thank you.
City.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
Okay, I saw. I'm
oh,
so
my God.
Sorry,
okay, but skating a free skate that starts with to build a home and finishes with to build this city.
Oh my God, that's genius. Please, someone do it. Please do it. And can you please do it dressed as like a sexy construction worker?
Yeah. You know what I mean though, right? When I describe that, step sequence, you can see it in your mind's eye, right?
Oh yeah, like immediately. So I want to say though that somebody that I follow on Twitter, and I'm like 99% sure it's someone who listens to the podcast. So if you're listening,
Hi.
I'm so sorry. I forgot who you are. Hi. Thank you for listening.
You're the best.
Somebody, you're the best. We love you, whoever you are. Somebody on Twitter had the opinion that his programs this season are both tributes and that he's reached an iconic enough status that he should, rather than focusing so hard on like repeating these same tributes, make something his own and make his own legacy. And I thought that was an interesting point. I think one could argue that he sort of did that with Seimei, but or Chopin or whatever program is like your favorite one. But I did think that was an interesting point to focus on making something new, like using what could potentially be like one of the later chapters of his career. Again, I'm seeing the laser dots on me.
The thing is, someone in like 5-10 years is gonna want to skate Yuzuru Hanyu tribute, someone great, someone that don't even know is gonna be like
right
an Olympic
exactly
gold medalist.
Like that was their point.
And
yeah,
it would be weird if you scroll down to like the Wikipedia fun fact part of their article and it's like they skated to Atunyao because Yuzuru Hanyu skated to Atunyao because Johnny Weir skated. Like it becomes this Russian nesting doll of tributes, which I think is interesting. But also I feel like there's something so metal about making a tribute performance and making it so fucking iconic that it's now the first thing that people talk about when the music comes out.
That's kind of like the ultimate.
It's metal. It's so
backhanded.
Good.
It's like the ultimate, like, I'm paying tribute to you, but I'm gonna do it better than you too. Like, I love that. That's sexy. It's like making a cover version that gets so famous that no one knows it's a cover
anymore.
Oh my
God, yeah, that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. And it's like, fun fact, did you know that this was actually written by so-and-so or like performed by so-and-so 5 years before this? It's like, I did not.
Yeah. It's all coming back to me now. It was actually written by Meatloaf. It's true. And he recorded a version of it that's an awful duet with like some singer, some female singer whose name I forget, and which is awful. I'm sorry. Sorry to this woman, but he was like, this is the definitive version. And he said, this is the definitive version. And it's like, sorry, but you don't get to decide that, low-key.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Meatloaf, but you're wrong.
Death of the songwriter. Also, Meatloaf recently said something stupid, and I can't remember what it was, but I remember we canceled Meatloaf
fuck
for
him.
Some reason. Fuck Meatloaf.
Fuck Meatloaf. The food and the singer, actually.
Fuck Meatloaf, get money. Oh, wait, but also low-key, Yuma Kageyama came through, and he's continued to come through because after everybody had all these high hopes for him at the Junior Grand Prix, didn't work out. Shun Sato, however, had a wonderful time at the Junior Grand Prix final. Those two are like little buddies. They're like the Keegan and Nam of the Japanese junior men, and they do is like hug and cheer each other on. It's very sweet. Yuma came in third. He got the bronze medal, and he was just so, you could just tell he could not believe his little eyes that he was there. Yuzu kind of ruffled his hair and he just, like, his soul left his body. It was just adorable.
Yeah, he was so cute. And this is, like, the kind of unexpected podium that I love seeing because, honestly, I'm looking at the rankings from JNATS right now and basically the top 10 is just iconic. Like any one of those people could have pushed a little and made it happen, but Yuma just came through and that's unexpected and super exciting, and I feel like we're gonna get to see so much more of him.
he's the future. He did then go on to win the junior youth Olympics over the two Russian boys that were the predicted winners.
Also, and again, fucking fighter at that. He fell straight into the boards in the short program.
It was terrifying. Yeah,
he just like ran out of room and it was scary and also like just unexpected. And everyone's like, well, fuck it. We had some hopes, but now it's not going to happen. And then he came through so hard in his free skate. He is a free skate boy.
He's a free skate boy. Speaking of free skate boys, KG didn't, my beautiful free skate man, didn't have a great short program, had a iconic free skate.
Fucking impeccable. Beautiful.
Impeccable, beautiful. I mean, I just remember the performance of it being really, really good. And he and Soto Yamamoto really have been neck and neck this season. And it's been back and forth between the two of them for like third, mm-hmm. fourth place pretty consistently. And in this one, KG came out a little higher, which of course I was pleased about. Although Soda is beautiful. Soda
has glown up so hard. He's so gorgeous.
Right?
He also skates with like such incredible grace that it's just exciting to watch. Also, shout out to every single director of photography all over the world who has decided that Soda is the only person who deserves that one close-up.
It's his signature. Yeah. It's so funny. I love it.
It brings me joy that across the board, everyone's like sat in their run through and been like, yeah, this has to happen.
And what we must address, what we simply must address, is fucking Kazuki Tomono's iconic Moulin Rouge free skate. Fuck, he did it clean. He did it clean. It was so good. It hit so right. And then when he finished, he just started weeping because he had been waiting so long for that. And he'd been working so hard. He deserved it so much. And
it's
like,
so iconic.
It's iconic. It's a friggin' great program. I'm sorry, but like Misha Ge
Fellas,
he's doing the effing most. And like, no one is giving him enough props for what he's doing. He's doing some of the most exciting choreography. He's working with so many skaters. Like, the ones we talk about on this show are the ones who are like podiuming and coming in top six in their countries and everything. But every time you watch a nationals, it'll be like random, you know, junior or novice level skaters who are coming in like, you know, 15th place will also have Misha Ge choreography. Like, he's doing choreo for everyone. He's making that money.
I'm so proud of him.
He's doing the most. And then he did an ice explosion, which I think is the funniest name for an ice show ever. Which just happened in Japan. He and Daisuke and a few other skaters from Japan.
Speaking of which, Daisuke was also like, there.
Oh my god, he was, which we definitely have to talk about. But his Phoenix routine is bomb.
It's iconic.
And they did a group version of it at Ice Explosion. But I'm sorry, that is like, we didn't talk about Nick Nadeau at Canadians, but Nick does this too. And Damn certainly does this too, I think. But I like it when men are just like, the theme of my program is sluts. And just kind of like, and they're just like, I'm just going to be a slut out here. And that's it. I love
you
that.
You know, that's so deeply valid.
It's so valid. Like,
along with
on,
the rest
go
of
out
the
there and be like,
disclaimers we've been doing throughout this episode, this is a deeply sex positive and slut positive space.
I would really hope that would have been evident prior to
that
announcement.
No, I'm
yes.
just, I mean, it's one of those words that you gotta work to reclaim, but I feel like we get to do
oh, true.
That.
I'm also quoting Jenna Maroney.
But yes, I am,
the amount of thrusting and like hair ruffling.
Wait, can we go back to Nick Nadeau
caressing?
For a second? Because he had a moment in his free skate where he just stopped and thrust his hips and then carried on.
Like, I can't even talk about how incredibly good that choice was.
Yeah, I checked in with friend of the pod Daniel as that was happening and he was no longer alive.
So what else happened? So Daisuke, was it an amazingly triumphant skate? No, I mean, I think he finished like top 10, right?
He did not. He was 12th.
All right. Well, never mind. He didn't finish top 10. See, this is a long time ago. But you know what? He's switching to ice dance and he's continuing on because he's a phoenix.
Oh my God. The symbolism of that.
Who else? What else? Ladies.
Kari had a hard time and I had a hard time with that.
Yeah, I think that's like all I remember is that Kaori caused me pain.
She had a good
program,
and then she just struggled in the free, and it was upsetting.
And that's unlike her.
Fucking Wakaba Higuchi ended up in second, which was thrilling.
Yeah, Kaori had to fall for Wakaba to rise, which is a bittersweet moment, but goddamn, was it nice to see Wakaba on that podium.
It's what she deserves, honestly. Rika won. Of course she did. I still have not seen that quad.
Rika hasn't won yet on Nationals, right? So this is her first, I think.
Yeah. It was, honestly, well-deserved. And
that's hard to believe. Yeah. It's interesting when you can win, like, Junior Grand Prix and Four Continents and then, you know, then Nationals. Sorry, Grand Prix, not Junior Grand Prix. Grand Prix
it's
final.
Kind of insane. We've said this before for sure about Rika. It feels like she's been around for years and years and years, and it's truly not. She's a baby.
She's baby.
But yeah, and Satoko ended up in fourth. A lot of just unexpected movement, but
I think what's going on with Satoko is that she's working on her LUTs in particular. She's transitioning to Granite Club with Lee Barkel, and I believe he's really working with her to try and get her LUTs fully rotated, and I think just the new technique has caused her to just stumble, literally. I mean, it's something we see very frequently. When you have a coaching change, it's like a whole new technique, and you kind of start from square one, takes a season or two. And I think with Lee in particular, he seems to be, just from what we've seen of skaters that switch to him, he seems to be one of those coaches that really does break down sort of your technique and then rebuild it. So I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like things are going to change like by next season for Satoko. But the Japanese ladies field is just always so enjoyable to watch. Like those events are always just full of great performances. Like I'm looking down this list and honestly, all of it was great to watch.
Oh, yeah.
It's just beautiful skating. And Kaori gets to go to Four Continents and redeem herself, which is another case to my point that Four Continents is going to be fucking lit. To Four Continents, they are sending Rika, Wakaba, and Kaori with first alternate is Johanna, whom I love so much, and second alternate is Marin. And then for guys, they were sending Shoma, Yuzu, and Yuma. Shoma withdrew from Four Continents, so he's not doing that.
Yeah, he wants to focus more on his training with Stefan before Worlds, which is super valid.
And also exciting for him, and also exciting for me, because Kazuki's going.
And Kazuki has a quad loop. I mean, I'm wary of saying someone has a jump just because we saw them land it on Instagram, but we did see Kazuki land quad loop on Instagram.
Yeah.
And thus, he does have it at least once ever. So who's to say?
Yeah.
I did say this was going to be his season, and I kind of was eating my words, but maybe I ate my words too soon. Maybe I should spit them back out. So then who's going to Worlds?
To Worlds, Japan is sending Rika, Wakaba, and Satoko. And they are sending Shoma, Yuzu, and Keiji.
Keiji.
Assuming no one pulls out, the alternates are Kaori, Yuhana, Kazuki, and Sota. So if someone pulls out, one of them is going to get to go.
So we were speculating the other day that if Four Continents, if Kaori does amazingly at Four Continents, would they sub out Satoko and put in Kaori, considering that Satoko has not had a very successful international season? But they do love her, and they should love her.
They should.
They shouldn't.
They're right.
They have a lot of loyalty to her.
They're right, and they should say it. I just really want a good performance from her at Four Continents. I'm not saying podium or anything because I don't know, but I just want it to be good for her. I think she deserves it.
I think, too, I want Kaori to have one really, really, really amazing competition this season for all those reasons you said, but also because this particular season for Kaori is a little bit of a departure in terms of style.
Yeah.
And I want her to know that, like I want proof for the Fed and for her and for the choreographers and everybody that this is a good style for her because she is rocking it. But I want her to have that competition success because otherwise I fear that in the future she might go back to less contemporary, less cool girl stuff.
That's such a cursed thought. I don't want that. I mean, I will stand either way, always, forever. But yeah. I adore her programs this year. They're like some of my absolute favorites out of like all disciplines. And I want her to have a good time, and I want the Fed to support her choices.
Yeah. So anyway, good vibes to Kaori and congratulations to everybody from the Japanese Nationals.
That's my summary is congrats to everyone, but I love Kaori.
This break is not like other breaks.
Oh, Jesus Christ. What is different? Does she like heavy metal?
Yeah, she likes heavy metal. She can hang. She can play video games. She doesn't t-shirts. Wear pink. She, you know what? She doesn't get along with other breaks. Most of her friends are like regular podcast material.
Oh my God. Cause it's less drama.
It's less drama. No, this actually is a very drama filled break because unlike our usual announcements, which don't worry, we will get to, we have additional ones to make, which we kind of already spoiled, but yes, I am going to US Nationals as of time of recording. I'm leaving in a couple of days and I'm super excited, but you guys should also be super excited because we're doing a giveaway.
Yeah, boy, you can get things from us.
We got some amazing stickers printed. It's our baby's first merch.
Oh, it's so cute.
Yeah, so here's what we've got. We've got beautiful stickers. They're the kind that you can peel off and reuse and won't ruin your laptop or whatever, or your car or your butt cheek. I don't know what you stick things to. You can use them to decorate. You can use them to cover racist graffiti. You can use them to vandalize your least favorite establishment. No, just kidding. We don't endorse crime.
I mean, yeah. No, we don't. No, we don't. But you can use it all over the place. I am a sticker enthusiast myself, and they tell people what you like. So we want to give you some of that.
Yeah, so here's how you enter this giveaway. We're going to do a drawing of names. So we're going to put names in a bowl. Your name can go in the bowl more than one time. Your name will go in the bowl one time each for each of the following things that you do. Rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a nice review on Apple Podcasts. Endorse us on some sort of social media platform. If you've already done these things, that counts too. Just send us a screenshot of or some sort of link and just some sort of proof that you've done this either in the past or if you're doing this now to enter. Don't go spam Reddit or anything like that. I mean, if you've already, actually there was a cute thread where people were saying nice things about us on Reddit and I was a little drunk when I saw it and I got a little misty eyed. So thank you. But
I woke up and saw it and it was very cute. So thank you to those people. Thank you for spreading the word.
Like, if you already did that, thank you. But also don't start a thread of, like, ruining the subreddit so you can win a sticker. Use your judgment. But if you want to, like, tag a friend on Facebook or Twitter or, I don't know, what are some other fun social media, Instagram?
Put us on your Insta story. Insta stories are, like, my favorite way to communicate what I'm up to. So put us on your Insta story. Tag us.
Yeah, we're everywhere at Iced Tea Pod. Or send us a screenshot.
Just let us know. Any interacting with promoting the pod after this episode comes out counts as an entry. So make it count. Have fun. Spread the word. Win a shiny sticker.
I was thinking we could announce the winners on January 31st because that's the podcast's birthday.
Oh, cute. I'm sure I'm going to have more things to say when we do actually do our birthday episode. But thank you so very much for the support and for supporting independent, fun content. It's very important to us. And we're happy to celebrate with you.
Do you want to talk about Patreon?
Yeah, sign up for Patreon. It will not give you a sticker, but we'll give you a bunch of other fun stuff. We have 3 different tiers, as you know. And you can get a shout out, like the ones we do at the very end of the episode. Or you can get bonus content. You can get gag reels at $5 or like other short form fun stuff. And at $7, you get a full ass episode, and they've been up for a couple months now. So if you sign up now, you already get 3 bonus episodes, like full length, that you can just hang out and listen to if you feel like doing that. And honestly, it's personally some of my favorite stuff that we've done. But also, you literally help us make things happen. Patreon.com/IcedTeaPod. This is Break.
This has been Break. All right.
Welcome to Russia.
Shall we? Welcome to Russia. It's cold.
It's beautiful. It's
big.
It's big. It's exciting. It's Russia. Honestly, Russian Nationals happened over Christmas, and I feel like I disassociated for most of it.
Yeah. I am glad it didn't happen at the same time as Japan Nationals. Last year was, like, outrageous.
But it was pretty exciting.
I think that the women's wasn't that exciting just because the thing that happened is the thing we knew was going to happen. Although, I actually did not expect Shcherbakova to win. I thought surely Kostornaya would win, or Trusova would land everything and win. Once again, though, Anna Shcherbakova, by being sort of the middle road between the extreme artistry and the extreme technical content, has pulled out another national title, which is really interesting.
Yeah, honestly, I feel like at this point, it's just the three of them trading places. And I feel like I've talked a lot about that. And I was surprised. I am not sure I was surprised enough, to be honest. What I do want to talk about in ladies Russian national figure skating is, and it feels like it was 12 years ago, again, it was last year, fucking Evgenia Medvedeva, Bootgate 2019. Yeah, Zhenya had to withdraw. If somehow you're listening to this, but you didn't know, she had to withdraw from Russian nationals because her boots were fucked up. Her boots were broken and she tried getting new ones, but that's surprisingly harder than most of the internet seems to think it is, and it just didn't work out. And she, like we spoke about earlier in this episode, she prioritized her safety and made the choice to not skate and fucked up boots, which I think is very respectable.
It is. And like a week prior to that was the junior Grand Prix final, or a couple weeks prior to that. I can't remember the exact dates. And in the junior Grand Prix final, we saw Daniel Grassl of Italy have boot issues where he had a similar thing. His boot unexpectedly broke. He had to put on new ones. He did skate both programs in new ones, and he fell on a lot of quads that it looked like could have been dangerous. And I kind of just was a little shocked that people weren't more understanding of it, because maybe they just didn't watch the junior Grand Prix final, but it's like we literally, right before that, had a perfectly good example of somebody who did skate in brand new boots and not only didn't have a good competition score-wise, but could have gotten seriously hurt.
There were a lot of people on the internet who seemed to not understand, like, oh my god, why couldn't she just go to the store and buy some boots and fucking skate? And that's truly not how it works.
I can't even walk to the corner in brand new boots that don't even have blades on them. Like, have you never broken in a shoe?
Yeah, no, as a good emo kid who only wears Doc Martens, you're in pain for a while and then it works out. That's how leather boots work. But also, like, skating in, like, highest possible grade Adeas or Jacksons or Grafs or anything, you can't just go to your local skating goods store or like the sports store and buy those. It's just not how it works. You need professionals to like fit them super well. It's a lot.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people were like, why didn't she bring a backup pair? And it's like, you don't expect random freak emergencies to happen, and everybody loves to think they would have always done the perfect right thing and forgets all of the times in their own life when they've done a stupid thing, or like not even stupid, just like you don't think about all the times you didn't prepare for every possible emergency, because most of the time it doesn't end up mattering, you know. And I also saw a really good point where it's like, if you have limited amount of training time, you're not going to waste that breaking in multiple pairs of boots, which takes time. You're going to spend as little time as possible breaking in and as much time as possible practicing.
Yeah, of course. I did appreciate, again, the climate online was bizarre about it, but I did appreciate the amount of professional figure skaters who spoke up, or I should say competitive, because like that's how we use words, competitive or former competitive figure skaters who did speak up to just how complex of a process that whole thing is and how accidents and just like freak emergencies do happen. I, off the top of my head, I can remember that like Ashley Wagner and Karina Manta and a bunch of other people were just like, yeah, you have one pair of boots and that's what you have, and you just compete in them, unless like very few people own like backup pairs and all of that.
Here's my thing. Okay, so I genuinely do believe that considering the level of care for the skater's safety and well-being that Brian and the cricket club very apparently has, I very much believe that it's very true that he was like, I don't want you to skate, I don't want you to put yourself in danger, and you know, whatever, whatever. There was also this conspiracy theory that she, because of boot issues or maybe not, which of course it was boot issues, obviously, but there was this whole thing of like, she just didn't want the Russian Fed to see her skate badly because that would be another reason for them to not send her places. To which I say, even if that's true, what's wrong with that? Why is that a bad thing?
Yeah, no, I mean,
to strategize like that in a really deep field. I don't care if she's strategizing in a deep field.
Fuck you, that.
You have to do that.
Smart about it.
Who cares?
Also, like, there was, first of all, physical proof her boots were fucked up. Secondly,
yeah, she showed them.
Why the fuck wouldn't you be like, yeah, fuck it, my boots are not doing well. I don't feel secure skating like this. Also, fuck this field. Also, I'm just not gonna do this. That's a valid way to approach things.
It's because, like we said, we live in this, like, not, we live in this society.
Oh my god, we got an hour and a half into this episode before you got into us living in this,
but,
in this society. I'm so proud
of you. I think that there's like this idea in sports, and especially in this sport, we have this assumption that powering through is always the valid and safe and better thing. And so for skaters who sort of, you know, quote unquote, triumph over issues that could be dangerous to them, that's good. For skaters who tap out, that's weak or bad. And it's this weird, archaic, almost like if somebody said that in real life and not in relation to sports, I would call it toxic masculinity, but it seems to kind of have pervaded both of the genders of figure skating.
I mean, it's because we like human stories and because we seek for narrative, because it's so much better to be like, oh, she broke 15 pairs of boots, but she, nevertheless, she persisted, and not like, yeah, she didn't feel safe, so she went home.
Yeah, I think about this tweet that I saw that wasn't related to figure skating, but it was like a couple months back, and it was like, what's wrong with quitting? Like, we, and I guess, or giving up or something like that. And it was like, we place so much emphasis on saying never quit, never give up. But in so many instances, that attitude leads people to stay in situations that are making them unhappy or are causing them pain or injury or a loss of safety. And like, that never quit, never give up attitude oftentimes does make people very unhappy and unsafe. So I think especially in a sport, I say, give up when you have to give up. Be smart about it.
Yeah, that's why Plus Five says never settle for less and not never give up. Like, never settling for less means that sometimes you realize that you're not in an optimal situation and you gotta go home and take a different road to perfection.
Yeah, Evgenia didn't settle for less. Settling for less would have been going out and skating in bad boots.
Yeah, also, settling for less would be, like, just trying and having us watch her, like, not skate her best and just being like, well, she is in bad boots. And that's, no one wants to see that.
Yeah, I think, especially because people are so cruel to her, that if that had happened, nobody would have said, oh, she had bad boots and that's why. They would have said, her career's over, she's garbage, you know? So it's, I support her. I think, it is, just going back to the breaking in thing too, I remember hearing, I forget if it was Nam or Nathan, one of them said it takes them a day to break in a pair of boots, and that would be like a day meaning like a 12-hour nonstop skating in them, jumping quads in them kind of day.
Actually, and you know what? Legend Taikkonen star and also Canadian national champion Roman Sadowski has an entire video on his channel from just like a couple months back when he did get new boots, in which he just vlogs the process. And that's
really,
like,
that's interesting.
Yeah, and it's really cool. It's just like a little, the definition of a video blog. He just goes through his first day of getting new boots and like starting to break them in. And first of all, he's charming. And second of all, you should go watch that. Because it's very enlightening as to why this would not be sustainable in like the limited practice time you do get a competition.
Yeah, you wouldn't have the ice time. You would be exhausted. I think that the effort of speed breaking in would be like a 12-hour day, after which you would be exhausted and need a few days off or something. It wouldn't be, I mean, you'd be skating on dead legs at a competition, even if you did manage the ice time and the, there, it's just kind of a ridiculous thing to expect of someone. So
yeah, it's just, I mean, it's just about like understanding how things work.
Here's what I'll say. Evgenia went on to go and be in the Wizard of Oz ice show, which looked really cool. It was like a funky modern thing. She had like blue hair, yeah, and she was Dorothy, and she was getting lifted and thrown around and pear skate maneuvered everywhere. She seems to be having a blast.
Yeah, actually, all of the Russian Christmas time ice shows looked fucking lit. I got to see like a lot of that through my Georgian boyfriend Morisi Kvitalashvili's Instagram story, because he was in one of the casts of one of the many things that were happening, I think, in Moscow on that beautiful outdoor rink. Russia knows how to do a celebration. All of those shows looked so fucking good.
Wasn't Alina Sleeping Beauty?
Yeah, Alina was in Sleeping Beauty. There was like a Christmas pageant-y one in which like Stasia was in it and Morrissey and a bunch of other people.
Stasia had a crossbow in that one. Yeah, how freaking cool was that?
Yeah, it's what she deserves.
It's what she deserves. Lisa at Russian Nationals tried her quad, didn't work out. I was a little sad.
I was a little sad, but she is a fighter and she will return.
I wish she could go to like an international competition, yeah. But I also feel bad wishing that because it would mean someone would get hurt. So I'm just going to like not make any wishes. I'm just going to, if she got to compete anywhere, it would be nice to see her compete again. Okay, so.
Let's talk about boys. I want to talk about boys.
Yeah, let's talk about boys. It was kind of, the boys were unexpected,
boys
I will
were
say.
Boys were kind of parallel to, well, not exactly, but kind of parallel to Japanese nationals because, cutting to the chase, Dmitry Leev won, which was very exciting for me as a huge stan. But it was nice because he had just had this like horrible time at the Grand Prix final. And it was like, oh no, poor Dema. He's like not doing great. And then he shows up at Nationals like a couple weeks later, just skates beautifully with like so much fire and just comes out and wins.
We love a redemption and we love a swift redemption. Yeah. As much as it's nice to see a long, drawn out, protracted comeback, sometimes you just want a Shoma or a Dema situation where they beef the Grand Prix and then do really nice at Nationals.
But also it was weird because math worked out in his favor because he was technically fourth in the short program and second in the free skate, but just the math added up and he ended up winning.
I love that. Isn't that like when, I feel like it was maybe Tomoki or somebody who won a really major competition by coming second in both the short and the free.
Yeah, it's just like how math ends up working out. But that was just so exciting to see. He did skate beautifully. And then Artur Danielian was second. And then our boy, Alexander Samarin, his name is Alexander Samarin, actually also had a very, very beautiful arc because he was 8 in the short program. He did not have a good time. And then he like fought for it and he ended up in bronze, which was also just very good. I like a little bit of a fight.
I was surprised by Samarin not having a great skate. I really thought he would win it, especially after it was IDF, right? Where he almost beat Nathan in the short.
Yeah, it was super close. It was like very, very close at IDF. But that just goes to show that, like we were saying earlier, it's just about what you do on the day. You would think that, you know, in a field where you don't have to worry about Nathan Chen, you would go out and like super kill the same program. But he just had a bit of a worse time, which happens to the best of us. And then he fought for it very, very, very hard because he wanted it very hard. And actually, I'm looking at the scores right now. He came like a point below Dima in the free skate. And it's just because of this lower spot and the short that he ended up in third. Also, Danielian came up from 13th into second, which is wild.
Now, let's talk about Russia also did not do any Worlds assignments, right? They only did Euros.
Yeah, they did Euros. They only did Euros.
You know who else did really well was Mozalev.
He did.
He's having quite a season.
Yeah, and Makar did fine. I think Makar had the thing where he went in with the, like, the fire. And he was first in the short program, and then it just didn't happen. He ended up fourth in the free and fourth overall. But he had a decent time.
Yeah, I'm definitely keeping an eye on those two for, like, future seasons.
Sure. For sure.
All right, so that is that.
That's a recap of the past month. Mostly, other things happened. Like, Kevin won French Nationals. Baby J won his fourth Korean Nationals.
Young Yu won Korean Nationals, right?
Yeah, she did. She did good.
Maya Berenice won French Nationals.
Yeah, she did.
Daniel Grassl won over Matteo Rizzo at Italian Nationals, which was a big surprise. And I could tell Matteo was fucking angry about that. I mean, I don't know him, but he seemed very disappointed. Yeah. So anyway, briefly wanted to bring up just literally what we were talking about just before we started recording is these ISU agenda items.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Which we could get into quite a bit. It's for their summit. Yeah. So I guess the conversation of allowing quads in the short program was not approved. So that's not going to be a thing this time, which I'm
pleased about. I'm super pleased about it. Personally. You know, this is an, you know where we stand about this.
They might. They're going to talk potentially about raising the age of ladies seniors. I don't think they will, but I guess they'll talk about it. I would be surprised if they did. I don't think they will. So I know. They were talking about potentially replacing the short program free program with a artistic program technical program, and everyone on earth is like rip shit about this, and I'm low key like that'd be interesting.
I would like to see it.
I would like to see it if, and that's a huge capital I big if they scored it like the way that, yes, smartly and like the way that the names would imply, because I think that what could very easily happen would be that the categories wouldn't end up actually all that distinct and we could still end up seeing skaters winning an artistic podium just because they have good technical content and okay artistry. So I don't trust them to implement their own scoring systems particularly effectively, but if they did, I could see that being an okay alternative. Again, I see people's arguments. I don't know. I think if they actually used the system they have now, they wouldn't need to make such big changes, and so I don't really trust them to, like, abide by any changes, but if they did, I mean, I don't know. It'd be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a work in progress. I am curious. Cautiously, but I'm not as angry about this agenda as a lot of people seem to be.
I think it would take a lot more than something like that to kill the sport. Oh, like, perhaps it's naive of me, but people do seem to think that any one change from the ISU could, like, quote-unquote kill the sport.
The sport has been around for, like, 120 years. The sport is gonna be fine.
As long as people are putting sharp metal things on shoes and ice is freezing, I don't think you can kill skating.
Wow. That's been the episode. Thank you for tuning in.
Psych, we still have to do plushie corner.
But that was a good, beautiful, poignant point.
It was. It's too bad I said it. I shot my poignancy wad too soon. Is that a word, poignancy?
Yeah,
Who cares?
Talk me through plushies.
Okay. Plushies were barren. It was a barren wasteland. Japanese nationals, you know, Japan has really strict plushie rules, so I didn't have high hopes. Some interesting things still made it into the Kiss and Cry. Sakura Yamada has, like, an astronaut that was just in the Kiss and Cry with her. I don't know if it was her, like, personal item that she has that, like, helps her. This is my emotional support astronaut, that type of thing. It's okay, so Marin Honda, I think, is sponsored by a Japanese airline whose mascot is a cat airplane hybrid.
Oh, like love to the see it.
Like the Miyazaki cat bus. Beautiful. And I didn't know that at first. I thought she just had I was like, is that a cat airplane? And then a few weeks later, I saw an ad and I was like, wow, it really was. I can't believe it really was a cat airplane.
I mean, we stand a recognizable brand. They wanted a cat airplane and they got a cat airplane. So
they sure did. So good for Marin for, like, making that coin and for repping a company who's got such a whimsical, delightful brand.
Yeah, proud of her. It's what we deserve as a content creator.
It is. Russian nationals also didn't really have a lot by way of plushies. I don't remember anything remarkable. Do you?
Dawn.
I mean, let us know if we missed anything, but Canadian nationals was okay.
Cute. Canadian nationals had some cute things.
Amelia Orgel, Conrad's sister, she got Pig in a Cactus.
Valid.
Which, Pig in a Cactus could be a good alternative to shaving a haircut.
Yeah, hi, I'm just here for the Pig in Cactus.
Pig and a Cactus, two bits. And she also got a small lion, so she did pretty
good
well.
For her.
Philippe Moulet-Mirochnichenko.
You nailed it.
The Mirochnichenko is the powerhouse of the cell. He got a red bear. which good for him. Roman got a plushie flower.
Oh my god, that plushie flower was so fucking cute. I hope he keeps it.
I saw a whole box of plushie flowers at CVS last night, and I wanted to get them, but they were $7 each, and I have no money because I'm a baby. Keegan got a moose, obviously.
Oh my god, but what is more important is that he hydroblated to collect his plushies.
It was so stylish.
It was like halfway between a hydroblade and a very deep crossover, but he kind of did this like weird figure to collect his plushies, and it was so funny.
It was great. It made me wonder whether it would be worth, as long as we're considering alternate events that could happen rather than the short program and the free skate, could we have a plushie grabbing event where you have to, in the most artistic and or technically impressive way, collect plushies?
Yeah, that would be the sport that I want to see at the Olympics. 2022, let's make it happen.
It would be like the sleeper event, right? The flower kid event, where you are a flower kid, and so it's sort of synchro, and it's also sort of an obstacle course. I think we're onto something. I think we've really hit upon something here. Yes. It could be like, you know how every Olympics they get to introduce one new sport to like try out?
That's my submission. Yeah.
Okay. Allison Schumacher got a pink flamingo.
Beautiful.
Madeline Skeezus, which first of all, I've been dying to say, I just talked to Jesus. He said, what up, Skeezus? Except fuck Kanye West.
Yeah, well, fuck him, but good.
She got something that I think must be a Pokemon. You know when you just see something and you're like, that has to be
a Pokemon.
That's
me with like most plushies.
Sometimes me with like real animals that I see in real life. Like I see a cat. That's a Pikachu. Okay, it's a blue and white lion.
Wow.
Why would that exist if it was not
a Pokemon?
Could
be a sports theme that I'm not aware of.
Maybe. If you know what it was, can you tell us? I hate not knowing what Pokemon are.
I don't know any things anywhere.
Yeah. So that's what happened plushie-wise. I'm really looking forward to being the change I want to see in the world at U.S. Nationals and just making the plushies happen for myself.
Yeah, you're just going to hand out, like, weird thrift shop finds you get.
I don't know. What's been going on in Social Media Corner? Sasha Trusova put up a picture of her cat posing with all her medals and trophies, and I was like, this is it. This is a good photograph. This cat probably thinks that she won those.
I hope she's very proud of herself.
I think that is delightful. That, for me, that tickles me.
What else has been happening? It's been a month, so I feel like we can't cover everything because everyone was, like, home for holidays. It was very cute. Everyone was competing.
Nathan skated in an important sweater.
Nathan skated in, like, the most beautiful sweater. I had a meltdown about it on Twitter. I almost dropped an emergency episode, which would have been just me for 5 minutes screaming at myself.
Gracie Gold did a makeup campaign where she, as part of the ad, like, reenacted The Cutting Edge, and it's really cute. So you should go on her Instagram and check that out if you haven't. And I don't know, I thought it was fun. She, like, they recreate the trailer, and it's very silly. It's just silly.
I just like content.
I liked it.
Speaking of content, Ashley Wagner watched Spinning Out, and she live Instagrammed the whole thing on her Insta story, just, like, live commentating. It was riveting media. It was so funny, so good. But I did learn a fun fact, which I'll probably save for when we do a Spinning Out episode. Yeah, I'll save it. What else? Everyone's been traveling as of right now. Like, Euros is happening, US Nats is happening. So there has been a lot of just, like, social media of people like, this place in the universe, here I come! Just people with suitcases. Just exciting. I think we're gonna start getting more content like tomorrow, because everything is starting.
Yeah. I cannot wait to get on a cat plane and go to North Carolina and see Nationals. And of course, I will be live tweeting it. We're going to be doing more Instagram content than we have been in the past. We're going to try and revamp our Instagram and make that a thing so I can like vlog with a V. And
yeah, it's going to be super exciting. I'm going to be, on a personal note, missing the start of the short programs at the men's short programs because I am seeing Fiddler on the Roof. And
I'm so jealous. I love Fiddler on the Roof.
I will be crying a lot, but I think I'm going to catch like the last one or two groups. So should be around for the fun part. Also, the ladies free skate at Euros and the men's short programs at US Nats are happening at the exact same time.
Yeah, honestly, Nana, like, you're going to have to cover Euros because I am not going to be able to follow
it. I will try.
We're going to try to find out a way to cover both. I don't know how it's going to happen. Stay tuned.
Yeah, everyone's going to be time traveling this weekend. Godspeed to everyone. Remember to stay hydrated and be kind to each other on the internet and have a lot of fun. And if you're going to any of the events, make friends. It's good.
Yeah, if you're going to U.S. Nationals, make friends with me. I want to know who's going. And like we said in the break, if you are interested in winning a sticker, shout us out, rate us high, give us proof that you did so, and you could win some stickers. And if you want to follow us on social media during this whole journey and get in contact with us about your endorsements of us, we are at IcedTPod on Twitter and Instagram. Patreon.com/IcedTPod. Where are you on the interwebs?
I'm just Netta? At Netta Marie. That's at N-E-D-A Marie. Yeah, I will be probably splitting my life tweeting. I do that. It's like my id, ego, and super ego. I put some of my life tweeting on my locked Twitter, which is very personal, and some of it public, and some of it I'm like, Megan would be okay with people thinking she might have said that. So that goes in podcast Twitter. So at Netta Marie for that. Also, follow me on Instagram. It's the same handle. Megan, where are you?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Megan Kelleher 3. That's MEGHANKELLEHER 3. I have a long name, but that's okay. Just the number 3. If you want to give us any amount of money, we would love it. The following people are already in our good graces, and they are Jordan, Danny, Julia, Daniel, Heath, Jennifer, Caitlin, Susan, Phoebe. In spirit, I am always throwing plushies at Evgenia Medvedeva, Danielle Gleichengaus, choreography number one stan, Joe, KM, and Samira. Thank you guys. We love you. You're the absolute best. And we can't wait to share with you what the next week or so has in store for us.
We get to celebrate our birthday week, you guys. Very, very excited. Thank you for tuning in. Happy New Year.
We're an Aquarius, by the way, obviously.
Jesus Christ. Let's do the show's chart for next time.
Oh my God, we should. Okay. Bye, everybody.